I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We got to premiere that yesterday, and the band at the Buzz family loved them. X Nations with Knife on Jordan Silver and Friends, 96.5 The Buzz. I am boring.
I am so sorry. That is, that was not a good look. I am sorry, Jordan.
No, it was totally fine. I had to stop looking at you while you were yawning because you know what happens.
Yeah, no, I had to turn,
Then I get the yawn, and then we pass it back and forth forever.
I'm so sorry.
No! You cannot control when you, I'm starting to feel it now.
See, and it happens too, right? It's always when you hit that button. It's either you got a burp coming, you got a yawn coming.
You're right about the burp.
You got the sneeze coming, all those things.
You're not done eating your food yet. Those fiber bars, man, you could chew the, what's the appropriate number of times you're supposed to chew something?
I think that thing's just cardboard, so you just keep chewing it.
Yes.
Pretty much.
And then it gets stuck in your teeth like peanut butter, maybe not.
You've been slipping. Where your stuff at? You've been slipping on this fiber.
Okay.
Jordan had this whole push to regulate her diet. So for a solid week, you were coming here with protein bars, you had shakes. Now look at you.
Let me eat my feelings, Hartzell, because that thing that was supposed to happen last night didn't, and I'm a little...
Oh, no.
I'm going to eat my feelings.
Oh, you didn't... Oh, no. Jordan,
this
I'm so sorry.
This was a series of unfortunate events.
I am so sorry.
No. It's okay. This was a series of unfortunate events.
Because you didn't hit me up last night.
I know. Because I don't want to be like, hey, guess what? No.
Well, I was assuming that, oh my God, things are going well. I haven't got a text from Jordan yet. Things must be really heating up.
I didn't go to the ED party. A series of unfortunate events, including my cousin's plane was super late.
Oh yeah, where's cousin Michelle?
Oh, she's sleeping. She got in like super late.
Okay, but she is here.
Yeah, she'll be here on Tuesday because we're not going to be here on Monday.
I got to really start looking at this email. We have a holiday, don't we?
Dude. Yes. Well, but they don't give it to you yet, which is dumb.
Yeah, I think I'll probably be here, right?
You're going to be here, like, doing the show.
Surprise!
Yeah, so I totally understand. You're just like, it's another work day. For me, it's like, yes.
You know what, though? I will say, as we just hit show 21, which, hey, happy 21, Jordan.
Happy 21. We can drink now.
We tried yesterday. Oh, boy, I'm still struggling from that.
Me too. That sucked.
Oh, my God. But I it's nice because, you know, I really like doing nights. And that was fun because it's something weird about just you and the mic in front of you.
Oh, I did nights. I totally understand.
Yeah, you know, we both done the whole, because you know that route, nights and hopefully get to afternoons and boom, boom, boom. So yeah, it's going to be fun. I like going solo.
This is kind of like nights. Look at it outside.
Honestly, you know what? And it's, I get, because I take naps now, because I've learned from you that you got to take naps.
I learned from the grand masters of the radio.
You better watch.
I know, the grand masters.
We've had this already once this
week,
Jordan.
I know.
But, yeah, thanks to you giving me my nap schedule, I wake up, like, you know, sporadically, like, 9, or like, 6, 7 in the afternoon / evening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's dark now. And so now I'm freaking out, because I'm in morning show mode now, because I don't want to mess this up.
No, so you have the, oh my God, I was supposed to be at work 20 minutes ago, heart attack?
6:15 last night.
Oh.
I woke up in like a cold sweat, sprinted to my shower. I was like, let me just brush my teeth real quick. Just a little rinse, lather, repeat, all that stuff. And then booked it to my car, went and made coffee.
No, stop it.
This
no, you didn't.
Last night. And my mom was like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm so late. I'm freaking out. I got to call Jordan, but I'm too nervous to call her. She's like, it's PM, son. I was like, oh my God. Yes, it is. What is wrong with me?
Hard to say, that's a thing too. I promise you that's a thing.
Really?
Yeah. You wake up if you take a nap, like you said.
Oh, we have to nap. We have to.
We do. And you wake up and you can't read the AM or the PM little dot.
It's always that little dot.
You're like, what time is it? Why can't you just say AM next to it? Why is there going to be a dot?
Just poke me. Like, yo, it's time.
I mean, I'll get you one of those like slapping machines that wake, you know, when your alarm happens, it like winds up like this nice little hand and then it whacks you.
No, I'm on edge enough just to make sure I can get up and Adam and get into this building.
True.
I don't need any more of that.
Okay. Well,
I need a wake up call
I'm
like that.
I'm sorry. I promise you, you're literally going through the new to the morning show pains.
Yeah, I mean, it's been like, what, like a work week month now? So we're getting there. We're getting there. I feel pretty good today. How you feeling, Jordan? Jordan. I can't even tee you up for the easy questions anymore.
No, you can't. All my worst
nights. JSAF. Jordan Silver is Wait, it stands for Jordan Silver and Friends?
We've got two friends coming in today.
I think we may have a little bit of a packed show today, Jordan. What do you think?
Yes, definitely getting packed towards the end.
Yeah. Who we got? You want to do a little tease?
Oh, I thought that sounded dirty. Never mind.
Because in the end, it doesn't really matter. Because we've gone too far.
Are you quoting Linkin Park?
Happy Friday, Jordan. Let's go.
Woo.
Let's go.
Woo. 8 a.m. We have Amir Sanders. She is a comedian, local comedian. Hilarious.
Ooh, okay, cool.
Cannot wait for her to be here. And then at 9 a.m.
Got our boys from Sporting KC, Blake McFarlane. It's awkward because here I can flex on Blake, but at Sporting KC, Children's Mercy Park, he's, I think, technically my boss. He's like my handler, pretty much, as I run around and do my MC stuff and just look like an idiot. So yeah, roles reversed this morning, so I'm going to make him look silly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you make him look sillier than you just did by quoting a Linkin Park song?
Leave me alone.
You know what? You're right. I'm sorry. I apologize for that.
Leave me alone.
Let's do the Buzz Family Creep.
Shall we creep?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So keep it on and on. Honestly, let's just do that. We should get like at least just make a creep bed music.
Listen, man, I made you a I'll write the creep bed music.
Okay.
Promise. But, and I want your mom in here first.
Okay.
Bring your mom.
I'll write that down.
She co-hosts with us for a little bit.
Hey, let's boop on that.
Oh, I can't. Wow.
Oh, God. Boop. All right.
She comes and co-hosts, then I'll bring in all these instruments and we'll have a little bit of fun.
That'll work.
In between stuff.
All right.
I'm going to hold you to that. Buzz Family Creep, Kristen. On Facebook. I got all mine from Facebook today.
Okay.
Kristen said, the amount of creepy old man. All right. That's why it was weird. The amount of creepy men, old men, that a friend requested me has been getting very disgusting lately.
Yeah. You're not supposed to use Facebook. You know when they have like the ad friend? That's not Tinder, y'all. And I know some people actually do that.
Really?
They use that as a way to slide in. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I had a friend that said that the weirdest place that she ever got hit on was her LinkedIn.
That's also a thing. Asia.
Wait, what?
Asia has got, my girlfriend, she's got just list and list of messages from
LinkedIn.
She's like, okay, I'll give you hey, you got a great profile. I would love to pick your mind about business. That's great at like, I don't know, 2:15 in the afternoon. But if you're getting that same business inquiry at like, I don't know, 2:15 a.m., not quite the same thing. She's got a ton of those.
There is a dating app for business elite people called The League. Just go on The League. You don't need to hit on people from LinkedIn.
See, I don't know. I'm not at that tier. I'm not that elite of status, so I have no idea what The League is.
Well, it's lonely. It's loneliness.
Lonely at the top, Jordan.
Yes.
It's lonely.
I turned it off. Anyway, okay. What are you finding when you Buzz Family Creep?
I'm on the Instagrams at MissKitty530. You have a brand new niece, so congratulations.
Is there a name?
I don't see a name yet.
Then we can
hashtag
name.
Kay Williams. So maybe that's her name. Maybe
if there's not a name, then we should name her.
Oh, our JSAF baby.
That's it. That's what she's called.
Also, real quick, actually, since we're creeping, my friend Crystal Saint Romain. She hit me up on Twitter. They named their kid after me. Yeah, which is so cool and like. I still don't understand it, but his name's Elijah Hartzell and he's doing very well. He just turned one and I saw them posting yesterday, so I forgot to throw that in, but I wanted to do it.
That's
today.
So beautiful.
I can't, like what?
You've got to be
like
a pillar of society if someone is named after you.
I really got to, like, I can't mess this up. Like, I can't be the one who's on the news. Like, local radio DJ is sentenced. Like, I can't. I got a namesake now.
You do.
I mean, I got to button this up.
That's right. That's fine. You're making your way there. I promise.
It's like, you know, when you get a tattoo of somebody, it's like, they better not be the worst or you are effed.
Mm-hmm. I know. I had to go get my Michael Vick tattooed removed. It was really bad. So, Jeremy on the Buzz Family Creep, Jeremy actually posted a picture. It looks like a giant spaghetti bottle.
I love you.
Thank you so much.
I haven't moved on from that.
I know. A giant spaghetti jar has fallen and it's all over the place. And Jeremy updated, if you live in a house and dropped a jar of spaghetti sauce, would you just leave it? Or is this just an apartment thing? Some of us enjoy living here. Clean it up.
Clean it up.
Who drops that and then just walks away?
I think it was Jeremy's boyfriend, to be honest with you.
Or the dog.
Jones. Jones did it.
Damn it.
Jones did it. I've just seen a lot of Valentine's Day stuff, too. I don't want to bombard you with all the sweet Instas.
Well, Emily updated Facebook and said, friendly reminder that now that it's no longer February 14th, show people that you love them every day. Don't wait until the next Hallmark holiday. Hashtag candy's on sale today.
Hashtag, with all that being said, candy's on sale today.
Yeah. Go over to Target and buy so many candy.
Oh, how much time we got? I will run over there right now before everybody gets there.
I don't think it's open yet.
I'll wait in line for that candy.
I know you would.
For a candy deal, you know I will wait in line.
It's cold outside.
It's cold.
We need an assistant to come do this for us.
You know, I liked Pounder quite a bit.
Me too.
I like that guy a lot.
He would totally do that.
You know, you know what we'll do? Hmm. We'll send Cousin Michelle over there. She can be our runner.
Her plane got in at like 1 o'clock.
Listen.
I feel bad for her.
Listen, Michelle. No excuses.
She's definitely not listening. So Kim updated Facebook, and I don't get this. Will you explain this to me?
Okay.
It says, I'm from Missouri, where you don't throw out your old shoes. You turn them into river shoes. I'm from Missouri, where you don't throw out your old shoes. You turn them into river shoes. What are river shoes?
What are river shoes? I don't know.
Missouri River.
Just old shoes. Listen, we don't hike, and we moisturize too much for that stuff. So I don't, river shoes, I'm assuming you have to be by the river.
Yeah. I mean, well.
And that's not where we are.
Any places that I've ever lived, when you're done with your old shoes, you tie them up and then you throw them over the telephone lines.
Were you?
Jordan Silver and Friends on 96.5. The Buzz.
We both decided on that one. That was a compromise because I wanted to play Hole's Violet.
Take everything.
You are in a mood today. What is going on? Because you're fired up in the 6 o'clock.
Guess who showed up last night?
I don't know.
Aunt Flo.
Oh, no, Jordan. You know what?
It feels like the Civil War is going on right now in my ovaries, and I'm sorry.
Starting to shed a little bit.
Okay, well, we didn't need to. I'm sorry that you found the line.
Hey, radio is painting a picture.
That's why I think the Civil War was good enough.
You know, this all makes sense because I, too, was starting to kind of feel some stomach pains and kind of had some headache stuff going on. I know we're on the same cycle now, so that makes sense to me. Yeah, okay. Because I had some questions I was going to ask you about, but yeah, okay.
Heartsy.
Mm-hmm.
We are not
food.
On the same cycle.
Yes, listen.
No, we are not.
It's a sympathy cycle.
I'm sorry. No.
That's me.
No. Well, you have a little cold.
No, listen, I'm doing this with you. Listen, we're in this together.
It feels like someone's punching you in the lower region like over and over and over again for the next 5 days.
I don't feel great.
And it's nasty when you go to the bathroom.
I mean, I got a little rumble.
Not what we go through, buddy.
My tummy hurts, so I'm sure that's... I mean,
Listen, I'll show you what it feels like. I'm just going to kick you in the junk for the next 5 days straight.
Yeah, no, I'm out now. I'm out. I'm good. I'm good.
Okay,
I'm good.
Thank you for your sympathy.
Hey, but you got food? You're back in your fiber diet.
See
your granola bar? Right there. That thing right there.
This?
Yes. Look at that. See, you're good to go.
Oh, my God. Hartzell, this is not a granola bar. It's a tampon.
Welcome back to Hashtag Crazy Cat Lady Radio. Jordan Silver and Friends.
Jordan,
stupid bleep.
I like that, Jordan. Text line is digging this. They're digging this a lot. Hold on, let me read this real quick. From the 262. All right, enjoying the harder music this morning with you. Love you too. Heart thing. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're loving this, you can expect it once a month
for 5 days straight.
What do these two have in common? Well, they both like women.
Hartzell.
Yes, ma'am.
Pick 1, 2, or 3.
Just random number, 1, 2, or 3?
Yep.
Let's go with meet in the middle. Let's go 2.
Jordan Silver and Friends News on 96.5 The Buzz.
You can't talk after that.
That was slick, though. Jordan, that was real slick. That was slick as hell.
Good pick. I'm going to make you do this again at some other point.
Cool.
On this day in music history, in 2006, Buddy Holly from Weezer is certified gold. In 2006.
Now, how is that a thing? Because Buddy Holly came out in 1994, right?
Yes.
Three or four.
So it was never released as a single in the U.S. It just came off of the Blue Album. So therefore, it had to take people being able to buy the song through MP3 online for it to finally hit gold, 500,000.
Write that
singles.
Down. That's trivia right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it
that's
is.
That's awesome. Okay. Well, that's cool.
That's why I made you look it up. I wanted to surprise you with some knowledge.
Interesting.
In 2003, Good Charlotte's Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous peaked at number 20 on Billboard, which is the highest that they would ever get in the Billboard charts.
That's about right.
And just so you know, we have no Good Charlotte in the system.
That's about right.
Those are some of the nicest people that I've ever met in music.
That's about right.
I hosted something once and Nicole Richie was there because she's married to Joel.
Really?
Yeah, and I got to stand up there and...
Because that's your idol. You love you some Nicole Richie.
The Simple Life is the best reality show. But we'll get to that later. And on this day in 1976, Jeremy's Taylor Swift, basically,
yes.
was born. Can you guess who that is?
He's the lead singer of a band called Incubus.
That's right.
Yep.
Brandon Boyd of Incubus is born today. So, I mean, she's a good enough fan.
You know, I don't see her. I wonder if she's calling in today. She might just need to take a day.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Crap.
Oh, no. I think that she's out of town. I think she's out of town.
That's right. Damn
That's
it. We
right.
can't even give her crap now.
It'll be all Incubus on the flight there. You want to do some national news, Jordan?
Please.
So, no shutdown. So that's a good thing.
Good,
so that's
good.
A positive.
Yep.
But now we've opened a whole new can of worms. If you haven't figured out, sign the deal. Trump signed his deal. No shutdown, but also no wall money. So he's declaring a national emergency at the border.
Heard about this.
Yeah.
Didn't he do that on a note document on his iPhone?
I want you to compare and contrast just real quick.
Yes, sir.
So he's declared a national emergency on the opium crisis, like an actual national emergency. And then he just did one on a wall that Mexico was supposed to pay for. So I just wanted to compare and contrast. No shade, just compare and contrast national emergencies.
All shade.
All the shade.
As you can, I'll even say that.
And it's opened up a whole new can of worms. Here we go.
I know the Republicans have some unease about it, no matter what they say, because if the president can declare an emergency on something that he has created as an emergency, an illusion that he wants to convey, just think of what a president with different values can present to the American people. So the president.
All right, now I don't want to get in a soapbox, but she makes a really decent point.
She absolutely does.
Because if you don't get what you want, I can just declare a national emergency, and then, yeah, it's... can of worms, and this is not even remotely close to being done. You know
I never understood when it comes to politics why these people don't know that they are basically in just as much as we are the customer service industry.
This is not about your bills.
Yes, this is not about us. I mean, I know I sit here we soapbox a little bit, but like we make sure to cater this to the Buzz listener, and we ask the Buzz listeners what they want, and then we listen to them, and then we do it. Like, that's the way politics should be.
Well, they're career politicians now. That's the thing.
I can't believe that makes me sick to my stomach. God, what do you have for local news? Is it better?
It is a little bit better. At least I think it's a little bit better. So you took Pounder the other day around Kansas City, right?
Mm-hmm.
You went to the plaza, all that good stuff?
Yep.
So we got some news in the plaza. They passed last night, or maybe this morning, last night, a plan that's going to limit the height of the buildings on the plaza.
Air rights.
And well, the effort. Backers of this move want to preserve what they believe is the unique characteristics of the Country Club Plaza, namely the architecture right here in the heart of the district, the red tile roofs, the low-rise buildings that make the historic shopping district.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be pretty cool. I like the idea of preserving a little bit of history down there. I know some people, you know, they want to get some more... you know, chains down there and all that. But, you know, I'm a history nerd. We're both history nerds, you know, so.
Also, that is the plot twist to the 2010 movie Burlesque with Cher and Christina Aguilera.
Yeah.
Yep. Air rights.
By the way.
You can't build up because people have to be able to see.
Yep. Also, what a film. What a reference. Thank you for that,
Don't
Jordan.
Call that a film.
That was a film.
That's not a film.
I got one more for you. Okay. And I am so excited for this. We have don't call it a comeback, because right now we're getting a new wave of maybe the greatest show of all time. This was my childhood, and it sounds a little bit like this.
We have till we start the show.
5 minutes. 5 minutes till we start the show.
5 minutes till
sound
the show.
Familiar? Sound familiar?
Not this part.
Show. All cast to stage.
Okay.
You're out of minutes.
Sounds like SNL.
You would think it's
fresh
SNL.
Fresh out the box.
You would think.
Look and watch. Ready yet?
It's set.
It's all that.
Oh!
Oh! Hit that beat! Yeah, it's back, Jordan.
It's back? What do you mean it's back? How can it be back? Amanda Bynes was in that.
We are bringing it back. Kenan Thompson, one of the original cast crew.
Yes.
One of my favorite on SNL.
Longest.
The executive producer, like this is legit.
So good.
Like this is legit.
He is the longest SNL cast member. He's been on there longer than anybody else ever in the history of SNL.
I guess he sure is, hasn't he?
And dude, still relevant, plays great characters. So maybe this is his way of like giving back. Because you gotta wonder when your career's done with something like that, where do you go?
Can I just tell you some of the people who are on that all that album?
Please.
Okay, they had Aaliyah, R.I.P.
Yes.
Faith Evans, TLC, Coolio, Brandy, Naughty by Effin' Nature. Oh, man. Like, these kids didn't know. I didn't know in 94.
This is why we grew up so cool. And we know our music because we had artists like that.
Yes.
That took their time and taught kids.
On Nickelodeon. Right?
Oh.
How dope is that? Do you want to do a watch party?
You know it.
Isn't that a phrase from all that? I think it might be.
She's the biggest Taylor Swift fan in the world. And she does an alternative morning show. How is this going to work? It's Jordan Silver and Friends in the morning.
Yesterday we played X Nations in this spot.
That was great.
I know.
That was an awesome track.
People loved it. The Buzz family was really into it to the point where they were messaging me and messaging the band.
We're calling that the JSAF premiere.
Yes. So I think that this is a kind of good spot to just drop at least just one new song.
I love it.
When there's a new song that's good enough to put in here.
I think we're allowed to do some new stuff. If, you know, Laszlo, they've got mail, you know, we can do a thing. In fact, maybe Textline, let's figure out what we should call this thing. But I think we should break some new tracks here in the morning as well.
Absolutely. I think this is the person that's in the car right now is like, all right, I could use a new song.
Yeah.
I could use a new song. I don't need to hear 48 minutes of new music, but one new song, maybe.
Try something new as you head into the weekend, you know?
Exactly. And if we still continue to do this here at the 7:30, and there's not a good song, we're not forcing it down your throat.
Don't worry about that.
We'll just talk about something else.
If it's garbage, we put it in the trash.
Exactly.
We'll do that.
So this was a surprise. This is, the deeper you get when you read about the story of this song, and not the actual song, but like who created the song, it gets more and more interesting.
Okay.
So don't get mad and turn it off right now when I tell you that Halsey is in it.
And this is the new track, right?
Okay. Yes.
This is the new one.
So it's Youngblood, who we've played. He played a show here.
I like Youngblood
last year.
A lot.
So good.
Real solid.
So good. Halsey, the pop singer, yes. And Travis Barker.
Hey, we played Halsey.
Okay, good.
We did.
Okay, good. Travis Barker, of course. And the song is called 11 Minutes. Let me tell you right now, the song is actually 3 minutes and 47 seconds. I listened to a bit of this. I listened to a certain point, and then I was like, this is great. I think that the Buzz family will like this. So, the song, as far as what it's about, described by Youngblood, says that it's the story of a perfect tragedy that reflects modern love with our society.
Oh.
So.
Deep.
As you get.
Deep.
Right. Well, yeah. Those are the lyrics. We'll see what they picked.
It's fake deep.
Right. I've always said that music would be so much more amazing if people didn't think that it had to rhyme.
Oh man, that you talking to me, huh?
No, I'm talking to everybody. You know?
Yeah, it's a cop out, right? It's kind of a cop out deal.
It makes it catchy, and it makes you remember it easier because these are things that rhyme. But what if those rules were just off?
Yeah, you're kind of like in a box.
Exactly. You have to write your next line that based on what rhymes with this. So anyway, this song though does have a rhyme scheme. So everything that we just said, we'll talk about maybe at another time.
A-B-A.
Oh, it's usually A-A-B-B-C-C-D-D.
Is this an English class? What's happening right now?
No, this is rhyme scheme. Yes, you're right. It is an English class.
Also, Text Line says, what do you think about this, Jordan? First play Friday. JSAF, first play Friday. What do you think?
I like that idea, but I want to be able to do this not on just Friday.
Okay.
So think about something that we wake up in the morning, we listen to some stuff that came out overnight, and something fits. Maybe it's on a Wednesday.
How about this? Jordan's Silver Songs. You like that one?
That sounds like it would be songs about my cat. That's a good, these are all good. Please keep texting us in what you would like to call
like
this. We just basically want to, at 7:30, drop you a new song. If there's a good new song to hear. So this song right here, Youngblood, Halsey, and Travis Barker, called 11 Minutes. It was also written by those three, plus producers and songwriters from Cold War Kids,
Good Charlotte, May Day Parade, and Black Veil Brides.
Is this like a thing? They kind of brought everybody out for this?
Well, just look at that. Indie.
It's a decent resume.
Pop punk, screaming. That's what Black Veil Brides is. Yeah. And so basically, Youngblood said, working with Halsey and Travis was a stinking, I changed that word, dream. At the end of the day, we're all rock kids. We grew up with much adoration for the genre, so it makes sense that we come together and try to modernize it. This is Youngblood, Halsey, and Travis Barker. The best part about this is when you hear the drum beat, we've all seen Travis Barker play. You can see him in your head playing the drum beat to this song.
Yes,
with his
okay.
big high arms, and he's like, this is 11 minutes on The Buzz.
Yeah.
Goosebumps.
That was really good. That ending part, I didn't see that coming.
Me neither, because I didn't hear the end of the song.
That was...
It hit the last 30 seconds, and then it go. Then I was like, okay, chorus one more time around. That's what we all know. And the fact that it switches to something very, very, very quiet and simple, I love when music does that. It gets you to a certain point, and then it goes, you think you know where we're going with this? You don't.
Swerve, take me there. Oh, man, what'd you think?
That was great. Yeah. Youngblood, Halsey, featuring Travis Barker, 11 minutes. We'll start doing this at 7:30.
People are digging it. Text line. And keep texting us. We got to name this thing.
We're
trying to break some new music on this show.
The idea is 7:30, we'll play you a new track of something that's really good. Something like that I will stand behind and say that I love. And if something there's nothing that day, we'll play a really great throwback track.
Ooh, hey, did we just workshop this live?
Yes, but I still have the S word in the title of what I want to call it. So
the S
we
word.
Need a better term.
Yeah, we just got this job. What are you doing?
New bleep or a great throwback, 7:30.
That's it. Just call it new bleep at the 7:30. That's it.
Or a great throwback.
Or that too.
Yeah. Wow. Youngblood and Halsey, 11 minutes. Thank you so much, by the way, for picking the correct one, because if you buy that song on iTunes or download it on Spotify or whatever, there's two versions of that song.
I was terrified because I didn't look over it before I put it in the system. So I was, did I get the right one?
Lots of F-bombs in that explicit song.
In that effing track.
Yeah. If you couldn't hear them, or if you heard something dropping out while you were listening to that, those were F-bombs, and there's a lot in that song. So, shall we move on?
Let's move on. I thought it.
He looks slightly like Barack Obama, and she's the spitting image of Fred Armisen. No, seriously, Google it. It's Hartzell and Jordan on Jordan Silver in France.
You guys, I did the wrong microphone again. My bad.
Jordan!
Can you move over here, please?
Jordan!
I am so sorry with the headphones.
Amir, can you come over here, please?
I'm sorry. That was me.
Got an amateur at the board.
No, somebody screws with our board all the time, and then I didn't realize it because we were in such good conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You want this one right
Let's go
there.
Right there.
My bad, my friend.
It's live radio, Jordan.
make our guest run. I am so sorry.
God,
I'm so sorry.
I haven't even moved. I'm just in the way.
So, we have local comedian... And, like, my favorite when I went and saw you at Pomp and Herkimstance, Amira Sanders, in with us right now. Hello.
Hi.
I'm so sorry that I made you run.
It's fine.
People mess with our boards, and then I was like, oh, crap, that's mic 2. None of these say mic 2, and you can't change it when we turn the board on, so.
But, you know, we like to keep it live and festive. You're on your toes.
Make our poor guests run.
Yes.
When you came here, even though it's probably going to be a horrible snowstorm soon.
I'm looking forward to it, honestly. It's an excuse to do nothing, and it makes me feel better about being lazy, you know?
How lazy? What are some things that you do at home when you're just in the middle of it?
I think a lot about things that I should be doing, like like writing or applying to jobs, but I just watch Russian Doll, so...
So good!
It's so, so good. It's shot so beautifully. Oh, my God. I love it. Mm-hmm. Natasha, I can't pronounce her last name. Really well.
I know, me neither.
She's great.
Girl with the red hair.
Yes, we love her. I love her accent. She's just such a raw, like, just amazing, honest. I love it. It's like, and I think I read somewhere that it was like produced and like created by like a majority women, like
Polar.
Yeah.
Yep. Yes. And I'm just like, see, this is what I'm talking about.
And then
need more of this.
You can write the next version of it, but you're like, oh.
You know, improvement comes in waves.
Like, sure.
Okay.
Yep. Sure.
Small victories. We're big on that. We're big on that. Small victories.
sometimes I have like a nice period of like just productivity, and then I'm just like, all right, now I'm going to do nothing. And, you know, sometimes we'll see what today is. Maybe I'll be productive. Maybe I'll find something else to watch.
Or you'll go make snow angels.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I do not like to be cold, and I don't like to be wet.
Are you from here?
No, I'm from Atlanta.
Oh, yes.
Hey,
yes.
The Atlanta connection. There we
go. It only ever gets snowy there once every couple years.
And it's only like a dusting, but everything shuts down.
That's
the last
right.
time there was like a nice accumulation of snow was like almost a decade ago. I remember it, obviously, because it's like the only time it ever snows.
Right.
And my mom had just gotten married to my stepdad. And so it was like a really interesting time for our family. And like, I just remember it was like a really nice memory because like we played with my stepdad in the snow and like it just felt like we were bonding. It was like just such a great memory for me. So I mean, yeah, I don't like snow, but like that memory is very nice.
Snow's not all bad. Not all bad.
Yeah, you get to bond with your stepdad.
Did you have a snowball fight?
We did. Okay. Yes. Yes, we did.
Okay. It's adorable. Adorable.
Our boss thinks that I'm a conservative because I don't like snowball fights.
What?
I don't like stuff being thrown at me.
That's fair.
Thank you. It's not fun for me. I like see red and I don't even know what happened.
I am extremely competitive. So like I shouldn't play games, but I do. Cause I guess I like being mad. I don't know.
What games?
Let's see here. Like, my friends, we play, like, party games, like, you know, Cards Against Humanity and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I like the version where you can, like, advocate for your card.
Okay. Yep.
I would say, like, the last time I played Monopoly, I did flip the board. Mostly, okay, listen, hear me out, okay?
Who did you play against?
So I was playing with my sister.
Okay.
And, like, two of our other, like, friends, and we were playing with the millionaire version.
Okay.
And one guy, like, he was, Luke Mon, if you're listening.
Shout out.
He was winning. He had, like, all this money. He had, like, $32 million.
Damn!
Yeah.
Must be nice.
And, like, I kept giving my sister advice on, like, how to play. And so I guess it was good advice because he was like, Atiyah, my sister, he was like, if you stop taking advice from your sister, I will give you like $2.5 million.
What?
And
the hell?
And she considered, I was like, Atiyah, if you're going to sell me out, please sell me out for a higher number.
Of course. This is your sister.
I was like, he has way more money. I like glanced at his little calculator thing. He has way more money than $2.5
million. Wait a minute. They don't have cash? They use...
Yeah, like... Yeah,
in the
like
millionaire version?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's so much. That's so much money. Like, that'd be so much play money.
You're right.
It makes sense to me. Yeah.
It's Jordan Silver and Hartzell hanging out with you and one of my favorite local comedians in the studio, Amira Sanders.
Hello.
Thank you for coming in.
Yeah.
I love when we have friends.
I know.
And friends. I love it when it happens.
So many friends. And this is one of my favorite already.
I'm smiling.
So we were playing Billie Eilish while you were coming in and you were just like, who is this?
Yeah.
And then you kind of started talking about how you were 22.
I'm 22 years old and I feel so out of touch with like popular culture that's like yet like developing and stuff.
At 22?
Yes. Okay. So like I was doing a photo shoot with like this 17-year-old model for a client like last year and I was like, hey, let's link up. Like, what's your Facebook? And she was like, I don't have a Facebook, but I have an Instagram. And I was like, I just felt part of me die.
That does hurt, right? That does hurt.
And like all these new like pop star names, I'm like, who is this person? I don't know. I just found out, I forgot her name. I think it's like, it's JoJo, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's like the girl with the ponytail and the big bow. I work at an elementary school, so like I kind of got wind of her while I was there, and I was just like, I've never heard of seeing this child, but apparently she's been just killing it for years, and I'm just like, where am I?
Mm-hmm.
Totally. That Billie Eilish girl that you heard, she just announced a show here, and before tickets went on sale, they had to double the size of the venue because of all the people that were saying that they were going to go. And then she sold it out in 2 minutes.
I'm on Lizzo right now.
Oh my God.
Yes. Good as hell.
I love
that song. It just makes me feel so good.
Oh, Jordan, you know it's on the system. You know.
We don't even have the Beatles in the system.
I'm gonna pull it up on iTunes because we're gonna play that. Good as hell.
What do you listen to for music?
So I'm also a writer. So like music is really important to me. Like one of the few streaming services that I pay for is Spotify. Right now I'm in kind of to like jazz rap.
Hell yeah.
So like Ari Lennox and Jamila Woods, and then like No Name, like those kinds of those vibes. Like they're chill and they're just like this really just poetic flow, just lyricism that mm-hmm. It just feels right. It just feels like, yes, this is what Black History Month is all about. Just, I love it.
Man, speaking of Black History Month, Amira.
Let's talk about it.
I'm going to turn my chair this
please
way.
Please do. Please do.
We need to have a meeting real quick.
Can we agree?
Let's check in.
I'll turn my mic down.
Can we agree this might
I'm black,
be,
by the way.
I gotta, by the way, I am also black because I get that all the time. People are like, are you like a gay white man? No, I'm a strapping 27-year-old black man. Leave me alone.
Can I tell you something like real quick?
Uh-huh.
So I used to work at a grocery store and some old lady called the store asking about some stuff. And once I like helped her out, she's like, you know what? I don't think I've ever met you. Like, have I seen you before? And I was like,
oh, God. Uh-oh.
I'm the only black employee at this place. So, I mean, I guess you would know if you saw me. And she was like, hold on. She was just like, oh, you don't sound black. And I was just like, how do I do customer service?
I can't
do it.
Yes. And, oh, get that all. We get that all the time.
Oh,
all the time. Oh, but oh, he's a smart one. He's educated. Anyway.
Okay.
Anyway.
But anyways,
can we agree?
Yes.
Can we agree, Amira, that this may be the worst Black History Month in the history of months?
Just wildin'. Just everybody just lost their collective minds and was like, you know what? Let's just... We had Black Panther
right?
last year.
Give us, I mean.
Black Panther came out last year in February, and it was the best month of my life.
We were riding high.
Oh my, like, I was like up here, and then like all of this like racist crap is happening, just all of this just garbage, and it's like, guys, we only have the shortest month.
Like, give us this.
We only have but so much time.
Like, we are, you understand that we don't have time to kill right now.
Exactly.
We need to use every single day.
Right.
You need every single day. Teachers talk about George Washington Carver all
preach,
month,
girl.
Please.
Preach.
Because I guess that's the only black person we need to talk about.
Oh, my
about.
God, yes. Yes. Yes.
Oh, my
boy.
God.
Oh, we hit the gotta hit the big ones. Oh, Amira, this is
I've
awesome.
I've been, like, following a bunch of, like, different accounts that, like, share, like, not alternative, just, like, more
mm-hmm.
black history. And I wish teachers would just throw the textbook away.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And just be like, here, we're going to learn about an influential black person every day
mm-hmm.
this entire month, because it's just like, I learned about Oscar Micheaux, like the first like black director, like film director,
mm-hmm.
and his movie, like something about Gates, I can't remember, but it was like a short film and they just restored it, and it went through this process, like I can go on about it, but I only learned about him in like my sophomore year of college, and it's like, and I'm so glad that my teacher took, because we had to learn about Birth of a Nation, of course.
Oh my God, yeah, that's like the standard.
Exactly. And she like countered that, she's like, here is this influential black director, and like it blew my mind, because I was just like, it never occurred to me that black people would be making film back then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
What's the time period for people that don't know?
I think I could be
I mean,
wrong.
Birth of the Nation.
I'm very bad at
Birth of the Nation's turn of the century.
Dates.
That was Birth of a Nation was showed at the White House by Woodrow Wilson. I believe that was like early 1900s.
Yeah, I think it was early 1900s, and he did like the
1912 is
Oscar
popping in my head
Micheaux,
for some reason.
Yeah, his movie is a direct like response.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
to
it's a critique
Birth
to
of
it.
The Nation.
Yep.
Yes.
I took that film studies 101. I went to community college.
I went to Mizzou, which is basically the same thing, just bigger.
Oh, no, I went there too. When were you there?
I was there from, so I got there in 2013.
Okay.
And I left in 2014 because I went to go to school in Japan for a year.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, pause Mizzou, because FMIZ.
Right?
What's in Japan? What'd you do?
Okay. I was taking a Japanese language course because I love anime and I was a weeb. I was taking Japanese and my teacher caught wind of some scholarships that the Japanese government was giving out to foreign students to come, like, study there. And he, would only talk about that ever. And he should really be a drama teacher, because I was a freshman and I was like, he was just he wouldn't even teach Japanese. He would just be like, here, here's why you need to go to Japan. Here's why if you miss this opportunity, you're just wasting your life. And I was just like, I guess I have to go. I guess, mom, I have to go, apparently.
It's your eat, pray, love moment.
Exactly. And she, thank you. Like, I felt she have to. And so I went to Nagasaki University of Foreign Studies.
Oh, wow.
And did, like, a Japanese immersion course. And, like, by the time I left, I was pretty proficient, like, especially at writing. Speaking was a little shaky because, like, I'm socially awkward in English, so, like, you know?
Did we Nagasaki, did we bomb them?
Was yes.
That, okay, that's what I
thought.
We
were concerned about that. We were like, shouldn't you guys, like, hate
us? Like, oh, do we?
But no, welcome.
About the whole bomb thing. Sorry.
Ironically enough, they were very nice. Like, I had an amazing kendo teacher. I was really depressed at that point, and I was trying to find something to just kind of help me get through it. And I took up kendo while I was there. And I went to this gymnasium where they were doing their stuff. And I was the only foreigner, only black person. Probably the only black person that they've ever met. And he just, like, he just welcomed me with open arms. He even tried to, like, learn English phrases to help me understand, like, the different techniques. And, like, I love him so much.
Oh, that's great.
Onoda sensei, you're not listening, but I'm just going to put it into the universe.
What if he was?
He wouldn't understand.
Got it. Well, something that I noticed that you said was that, sorry to bring this up again, but you said that you were depressed.
Mm-hmm.
You were depressed. I've noticed a lot of comedians turn their pain into comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you say you would do?
You do? I'm learning how to do that. I've only just gotten to a point in my life where I can look back on that period and say, okay, that happened, but I'm here now, mm-hmm. and I'm growing, you know, from that. I'm trying to see the funny mm-hmm. in it all. And so I don't think I do that 100% right now, but I'm trying to get there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, a lot of comedians deal with depression. It's very ironic. Actually, I only started comedy because my first boyfriend, like, he ghosted me. He didn't even break up. Like, I had to call him and be like, you haven't spoken? What?
How long were you dating?
It was only a couple months, but it was like my first boyfriend. Like, I was 20 years old mm-hmm. and I had never had a boyfriend before. And so I was, like, really, you know, infatuated, and, like, it, you know, destroyed me.
Mm-hmm.
But before we'd broken up, he challenged me to do comedy at the open mic in Columbia, Missouri. And even though we broke up, I was like, you know what? I'm still going to do it.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I did it, and I killed, and I was like, haha, this is what I'm doing.
That's right.
And that's how I met my current boyfriend, who we've been together officially for a year, mm-hmm. actually, this weekend. Yeah. It's so weird how life works like that.
It does. That something like that changes the whole course of your life.
Yeah.
Because, again, like, when I see you perform, you're so comfortable on stage.
I get that a lot. And it's like, oh, I'm always like, okay, so before I get on stage, I'm like, I get nervous farts.
Same, girl. Same.
The bowels, you know, it's just like, they're just like, oh.
You're perfectly regulated. Don't even worry about it. You're fine.
But, like, once I get on stage, like, all of that just disappears, and I'm just having fun, and it's just, I don't know how to describe it exactly, because it just feels like I should be up there. It feels like I'm in another world.
It
you know?
seems that way when I see you perform. There are people that, including me, whenever I get up on stage to do something like that, you still feel every eye that's looking at you, and you feel, I don't know, judged, and mm-hmm. you have all of these thoughts. But then you do see comedians hop up on the stage, and, like, after the farts.
Yeah.
Then you just see them so comfortable, like they're in their house, just walking around.
I can't do it. We talked about this before. There's no way, unless I'm being punished. You'll never see me on a stage doing a set.
Oh,
no
making
chance.
You do it by the end of the year.
Oh no, you.
Because we're going to have all these comedians in to
inspire. Nope, you sure
inspire.
Will not. No.
You've got a couple shows coming up, and we're going to talk about that in after this 1975 song.
Awesome,
Amara.
Yes,
you just mentioned that you were talking to your therapist, and you. You said you don't feel like you've done anything?
Yeah.
Girl, please.
Come on.
Please.
You don't get that good. I'm sorry. You don't get that good.
I just... So I'm the oldest child,
mm-hmm.
and my identity, I guess, growing up, Because I was like in a single parent household for a couple of years, so mm-hmm. I was like helping my mom with my brother and sister, and the only way I could think to like do something to make my mom happy besides like watch my brother and sister was like achieve in school, yeah. like all the time. And so I've always been held to a pretty high standard, and I've always like aimed to be the best. And so even kind of now when I do something mm-hmm. that's like of note, like my mom has yelled at me before. She's like, why didn't you tell me you were doing this thing? And it's just like, I didn't think it was a big deal.
Right.
You know,
can you list off some of these big things for us?
Like, okay, so I consider this a failure. I'll explain why. But like I directed, wrote and produced my own like web series pilot.
What?
Last year.
Oh my God.
Why was that a failure? You did all the work.
Because it turned out really bad.
What? Hey, that you live and you learn.
What is bad? What does that mean? What does bad mean? You got it done. You wrote it. You produced it. How is that bad? It's an achievement, if you ask me.
So like the stars weren't aligned, so to speak. Up until like basically production, it was just me. Mm-hmm. Like I had a couple people help me with crowdfunding. Shout out to Alex. And oh my God, why am I blanking on her name? Because she's amazing. I know. Jessica Reed. Yes.
And okay. Jessica Reed.
What up, Jessica?
And Alex.
And Alex Hausman. Yes. They're both filmmakers in Columbia, Missouri. They helped me with the crowdfunding mm-hmm. for that. And I'm very privileged because my mom did donate $1,000 to that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, mom.
Yeah.
And she's listening right now.
Yes. Shout out to mommy. I had like $2,000 to work with, but I didn't really have a team that was as dedicated to this project as I was. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of really, it's like, I also think I was trying to do it too quickly. Like I was having kind of a bit of a panic attack, like after graduating, it's like, I gotta do something.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, it was definitely a learning experience. Like I learned a lot about writing, about like location scouting, mm-hmm. directing, like all this stuff. So I think I had gained skills from that and experience, but like the finished product is like the concept is great. I think the concept is great. It's about this kid named Kevin. He can see dead people. He hates that about himself.
Who wouldn't?
Oh. Right?
So
I like that a lot.
And he's like what in this world is a guide, so he can like help spirits pass on and stuff. But he's like, nah, I want to be normal. So he's just like super boring. But he catches the attention of these two girls that died in the 80s. And Dina and Frankie. And their friend Noah gets attacked by a ghoul. A ghoul is like a corrupted soul.
Mm-hmm.
And he will be corrupted and like kind of trapped in this cycle of living his worst moments over and over again as a ghoul.
Okay.
And so they're like, hey, we need your help to save our friend. And he's like, no, I can't do it. Like, I'm not that kind of person. So it's like, it's a paranormal comedy, just about Kevin learning how to accept himself. Dina and I said Frankie. Her name is Frances. I'm mm-hmm. so awful.
I mean, it's your story. It's yours.
Right? They're learning how to reconcile the circumstances of their death and things like that, because they've been on this college campus like just wandering around, chilling out like mm-hmm. since the 80s and haven't moved on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's like just really about growth, especially like in your youth. And so like I think my script and like the concept is good, but like it's a paranormal thing, so there's special effects involved, and
sure.
it's really hard to do on low budget.
God,
that plot sounds amazing. Although that sounds awesome.
Some of the greatest movies are movies like that have really bad graphics. Like they just owned it.
I think I wish Birdemic. Graphics were like the issue. I had amazing, like, dedicated actors, but I didn't have a lot to choose from.
Right.
So I just kind of had to go with who would show up, even though some of them didn't fit, like, the
yep.
what I was actually going for.
Totally.
But, like, of course, I'm not going to, like, trash them or anything like that, because they worked so hard.
Sure.
I woke up at 3 a.m. to, like, do, like, a night scene, and, like, I greatly appreciate that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like you said, stars aren't aligned, but you learn the process
yeah.
that you have to learn the first time to be able to do it.
It's on my website, employ Amira Sanders at WordPress.com.
You're not too proud to beg. Oh,
right.
I love that.
It's on my website. employment Sanders at WordPress.com.
We'll share that.
I have it listed. Like, I shouldn't consider it a failure, I guess. Like,
no.
I'm learning how to just be a human being.
Yes. You know? Yeah.
I'm sensing a little imposter syndrome, a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, but that you're not an imposter. You earned this. You did all this.
I think all artists feel that way, though.
Yeah.
I really do. Because you open your soul up to people, and then you're like.
I wish politicians felt that way.
Oh, my God. Amira, preach. How much time you got?
The only ones that don't, for crying out loud.
It's like, I wish you would have that. Oh, mm-hmm. My God.
How do you work that stuff in? Like, when life is on fire, like, how do you write about that without just wanting to curl up in the fetal position?
I get angry first, and I daydream about fighting people while I'm working out. And just want to slip in there. I'm healthy, guys.
Look at you.
Mom, I'm okay here.
I'm okay, yeah. I just try to find, like, absurd analogies to talk about on stage because a lot of my audience is white Americans. I'm in Missouri, obviously. Yeah. And so they usually don't hear the perspective of a black, I grew up in a Muslim household, woman, and like my experiences and stuff. Like, I have people come up to me and be like, wow, like, I didn't really think about that before. Like, that's really fun. Mm-hmm. And then like, and then I have like the few people of color that do end up at my shows. Like, they come up to me and they're like, we totally understand what you're talking about.
Yes.
I talk, like, I have this one joke that's doing pretty well right now of like, my mom to take us to Cracker Barrel, after major Muslim holidays. Mm-hmm. I say to establish dominance, you gotta let them know. Been to like a deep South.
Yes, I lived in Atlanta.
Barrel.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah, so you get it.
Yes.
Like, you get a lot of stares, a lot of like angry eating. And it's just like, I made that into a joke. I'm not going to tell you guys the punchline. Come to my shows.
There she is. Because we don't give free shows,
we
y'all.
Don't do that.
Nope.
But it's like moments like that. Like experiencing Islamophobia, like post 9/11 racism and all this stuff. Like, America just gives you a lot of material. Like, you know?
You know, I hope that this is the right thing to say, but like, it's so sad that it has to be turned into comedy for people to get it, for like white people to get it.
Yeah, it just has to be in like a more digestible form, because it's just. I mean, I understand, like, the knee-jerk reaction that some people would get, like, especially white people would get about hearing, like, the injustices that people of color face at the hands of a white patriarchal society.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that, because, like, I felt that way when my LGBTQ friends talk about, like, the struggles of, you know, living their lives at and experiencing oppression at the hands of straight people.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I had that knee-jerk reaction, but I'm also like, okay, I need to, like, that's okay to feel that. But here's a person that is being vulnerable and trusts me enough to, like, check me or say, okay, this is how I feel and this is my experience. I know nothing about this, so I should listen. And I don't have to, like, justify myself or anything, because they're not talking about me, you know? They're talking about their experience. And
a good point. Such a great point.
That's what I really try to do.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, I know that this stuff happens, and I know that it is messed up, and people that brush it off and say that it doesn't happen, that's ridiculous, that's just lying. But, again, I sympathize with it, but I haven't been through it, so it's like, what can I do? It's definitely not talk over.
Yeah.
You explained that perfectly. That was great. Yeah. Like,
I try to explain that to, like, the white people that get offended when I, like, talk about, oh, white people do XYZ, and they, like, mostly white men, they get, like, real, like,
you should look at our text line. Oh, my God.
They get pressed.
Just a tragedy.
And I'm just like, I'm not attacking you, my dude. Like, if I were, you would know. You know, it gets me worked up, because I'm like, I'm trying to just explain my experience, and now you're over here talking over me.
Right.
It, like, imposing your views that I already have to live with mm-hmm. and take into account every moment of my life already. I know how you feel. I know like what's going on with you. I know. I have no choice but to know. And here I am trying to show you a little bit of my side of the world, like the different facets of things that are going on. And you are defending yourself as if I am attacked. I honestly think it's a good, like, if I say, oh, what you said slash did is racist, that is not an attack on your moral, like, mm-hmm. fortitude or anything mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. Because the society, I had internalized racism growing yeah. up. Like, I wanted to lighten my skin. I thought that I, yep. like, yep. I had wow. that, and I had to unlearn that behavior. And to me, what separates, like, good from bad, so to speak, is not that black and white, but you understand what I'm saying. It's like when I say, hey, this behavior is harmful, like what makes my judgment about you is if you're like, okay, thanks for telling me this. I'm going to work to improve that.
How are people not like that? I don't
understand. It's that knee-jerk reaction. I don't think, especially white men, have been held accountable for many things. Mm-hmm. So it's like I don't think they've, like a lot, haven't had the opportunity to like, or to look into themselves like that and mm-hmm. say, maybe I participate and I'm complicit in this system, but I have the power to change that.
I just want to remind people who we're talking to, because this is amazing. I cannot wait to hear this back on the podcast.
I'm so into this that I haven't even said.
Yeah, Amir Sanders, local comedian. You are excellent. So
website first.
What is yeah?
Employ.
Plug that website.
Employ Amir Sanders at .wordpress.com. I can't afford an actual domain name. You know how it
that's
is.
That's why we need to employ Amir Sanders. That's right. Exactly.
Please
why.
Hire me to write for you. God, I'm so tired of restaurants.
I am. I'm curious because what you just said was so beautiful. Do you find yourself? Because I even find myself with filters, and I've kind of realized it now. But like years and years ago, so much code switching. Mm-hmm. Like I would put that filter that made me a little bit lighter. I grew up in Lee Summits, which mm-hmm. is a suburb in KC, and you know, all my friends, everyone I was around was white folks, mm-hmm. and so even I was realizing that I would change my dialect a little bit. I would change how I would approach people. And then I found myself going to, you know, my black barbershops and my black friends and my I'm a black man, so my family. Mm-hmm. And it's different. Do you have that? Do you experience that? Because I know it's something you got to realize first, because it's not great. It's not good.
I think I used to do that, but I find it, I don't like expending energy to be inauthentic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, okay.
I'm not calling you an
inauthentic. No, I think a lot of folks, and myself included, when I was actively doing this, is that I'm trying to impress them.
Like trying to like soften the blow for
yes.
them.
I've done that in the reverse,
yes.
which mm-hmm. I hate because it really makes me feel inauthentic.
Yeah. It's like I'm doing a bit. Like I have to try to win you over.
Yeah. And it's like I'm going to say what I'm going to say. You're probably not going to like it. That's fine. A lot of people don't like me, and I'm okay with that. I have people that do. I have people that love me. I don't need you. And it's like, what are we talking about?
Code switching. I mean,
code switching. Sorry.
Okay, but here's the thing. It's so great that that just happened because it is exhausting.
Yeah.
And, like everything about how, you know, the internalized everything. Just walk. I remember when Trump won, you know, we're right next to a Target and my stupid ass, I wore an Obama shirt because I was kind of being that guy. Probably shouldn't have because for the first time in a long time, I just felt like everybody was staring at me. You know, like everyone's like, oh, look at him. Like,
Can I tell you a little funny bit?
Oh, hell yeah, you can.
The night Trump got elected, like I was on a date with a white guy. And like when I got the news, I was like, oh, right? I shouldn't be here with you. I don't know. It felt like a betrayal to my people.
I dated a Trump supporter.
Oh,
what?
No.
Where?
Can you? I mean, I was real thirsty.
Honey,
y'all. Like, if they
no.
push,
okay,
that
so do you mean
show.
Dating like emotional intimacy or just physical?
No, we just effing y'all. We just
yeah.
Effing.
All right. So like, I guess like I had a conversation with my boyfriend about that. I was like, he's like, yeah, I've had sex with a Republican before, and it's like it's so removed for him.
Yeah, it's kind of a revenge style, if you ask me. That's kind of my thing.
Yeah, no, he thinks about that. He's like, uh-huh. yeah, like, I can't say the word, but he's you know, I'm so skilled that I compromise your own.
Time that we're willing to cross the aisle.
Exactly.
The only time.
And I couldn't believe it. And so, like, I was like, okay, like, I could never do that. He's like, men are different, Amir. Like, men are different.
And trash. And, men are trash.
Yeah. And I was just like, that's wild.
You've been saying that for a while.
I want to reiterate how much we are trash. That's all I want to know.
So you have a couple shows coming up because you are so funny. And I want you back on the show. I want you to talk about.
I want
to come
be
talk
here
about
again.
Real stuff.
Yeah.
You have a show coming up next Wednesday. Mm-hmm. It was Wednesday coming up, February 20th, called Truth and Comedy.
Mm-hmm.
What's the idea behind that?
So this guy contacted me. I think he's based in Texas. He he does these little satellite shows around, and basically a writer will write a short story. He sent it to me, and I write a set based off of that short story.
Awesome.
And then at the event, the writer reads a story, and then afterwards I come on and do a set. I'm on that show with Aaron Naylor, another comedian who's also my roommate. What's up, Aaron?
Is he up?
I don't know. Okay. He's probably asleep. He has work at 1, so it's he's probably still asleep.
Must be sorry.
Right?
I miss those days so much. Oh, I miss those.
But yeah, it's a really interesting concept. I haven't done this show before, so I'm really excited to... I haven't read the story yet because procrastination, but you know.
You've got till Wednesday.
Yeah, or the couple minutes before.
Damn, really? It's a short story, though.
I haven't even looked. I haven't opened the document.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
What's going to happen if you open it up and it's 47 pages?
I'm not reading all of it. I'll tell you that. This is not a short story. I need to be compensated for reading this.
Hire? Employ.
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 Employ me, please.
So that show is at the Arts Bar Wednesday, February 20th, called Truth and Comedy. You also have another show at the Arts Bar Saturday, February 23rd. It's a Valentine's Day show.
Yeah. I'm on that show with Ryan Chicky, Joe Nunick, Monisha Williams, Jake Redpath, Jason Myers, and Mitchell Harmon. I know all these people. They're all so funny. And it's I feel it's going to be a great show. It's of course,
hell yeah,
love themed. And boy, do comedians have opinions about love.
Yes.
Boy,
yes,
do we.
Can we count how many times somebody mentions Tinder?
Oh my God.
On stage.
I'm trying to phase that out of my act because it's it's hack now.
It got played out.
Right.
It did.
So now I just, instead of saying Tinder, I'm I met someone at a bar. I mean, it's not much of a switch, but it's just I'm still going to talk about the experience because it's funny, but,
of course,
you know.
And, you know, people used to meet at bars, you know,
that used to be a thing, right?
I'm
retro and cool. yeah.
So Tuesday, March 19th, I've heard about this, the host battle.
Mm-hmm. At the
Comedy Club?
Comedy Club, yes. It's on 103rd Street, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's a host battle, so a bunch of comedians are going to compete to be a regular host at the club when they bring in, you know, big name people. So I'm going to be there along with a bunch of other aspiring comedians, and we'll see who wins. You know, we'll see who can do that.
Who picks who wins that?
I guess the guy that runs it. I just show up and say jokes, and if they give me money, that's great. You know,
we're gonna go and be super loud. And you're gonna win this thing. That's
my shirt. I'll be
oh my God,
I will put this back on if you hire.
Hire me. I'm
Amir
so poor.
Sanders.
Employ Amir Sanders.
Please.
WordPress.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, I'm so happy that I drove up here. It's so much fun.
Awesome.
Keys, check. Phone, check. Wallet, check. Jordan Silver and Friends, check.
That was a perfect song for bringing in Blake McFarlane.
Yeah, the beautiful game.
Manager of Match Presentation. Hartzell said it wrong off air 5 times at Sporting KC. And
it was
also,
twice. It was twice.
No, it was more than that. And also, Hartzell's boss for his other job.
Well, boss loosely.
Nope.
No.
Blake, I'm his boss.
I like to refer to you as my handler when I really try to big league you.
I like to refer to myself as your fun uncle because Jordan gets you during the day, in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Lazo's kind of your overseeing boss.
Mm-hmm.
Asia gets you all other times.
That's true. She does.
And then on the weekend, when everyone's kind of tired of you and they want to just kind of push you off onto someone else, you come hang out with me. We run around on the sidelines.
It's true.
I let you yell.
You do let me yell a lot, actually.
Sometimes we get pizza.
Sometimes we get drinks.
Wow, what a
Sometimes
fun
we get
uncle.
Drinks.
You
I know.
Are.
No, that's true. Okay, you are the fun uncle.
But
you're a fun uncle.
And then when I'm done with you, I just give you back. And I don't have to, like, deal with any of the consequences.
Yeah, it's like the best part of having, like, if you're babysitting, the best part is that it's not your kid, and at 3:30, the mom's going to come and pick him up pretty much.
Blake, do you also have to tell him to be somewhere at least 2 hours early for him to show up?
I certainly, like, I will tell Hartzell, hey, we have an event at 7 p.m. I really need you to show up at 4 p.m.
Right.
And in my head, I'm like, if he can get here by 5, we're gold.
No, I'll see you at 5. I'll see you at, like, 5:30. I mean,
my favorite was, there were probably 3 times last year where I got a call from Hartzell that was like, I'm stuck in traffic.
I am stuck in traffic.
Or my tire's out, and it's like, hey man, this is a reoccurring issue. I don't believe you, but is like really bad timing.
I have car troubles. People die. I have things I have to take care of.
Your grandmother again?
Well, you know, listen, she's got 9 lives. Y'all need to leave me alone.
All right.
Y'all need to leave me alone.
Well, when you are at work, it's an absolute pleasure to be with you.
Well, the pleasure's all mine.
It's very nice to commiserate with someone else who understands it.
And Blake's got stories, I'll be honest. Blakey's got some stories.
I do. We'll save those for a later date once we kind of establish.
We'll save that for the podcast.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds good. That sounds good. Blake, besides bringing the snow...
I apologize.
No, that's okay. I walked out of the studio. I came back. You were here, and it was also snowing. What is going on with Sporting KC?
Yeah, it's been a busy offseason. You know, they brought in 4 players this offseason. You've got Kellen Rowe from the New England Revolution.
Yes.
Who's going to be a really big player for us, and we'll talk about him just a little bit more. And then you got Rodney Wallace, who's joining Sporting Kansas City. And then Botan Barath, which I know is a fan favorite of Hartzell's already.
Because he's House Baratheon, clearly.
Yep.
Game of Thrones.
Yep.
If we don't put, like, a Game of Thrones bed music for him during the intros, then what are we even doing this for?
Yeah, exactly, right?
Like, let's make that happen.
And that's why you are you and I'm me. So
first
we brought him in. And then we've also just recently acquired a player from Rwanda, which is a big deal because he's the first player from Rwanda to be playing in the MLS. So there's kind of turning a lot of heads with that.
Yeah.
But a guy like Kellen Rowe is going to be a really special player for Sporting Kansas City. And I think that you could say the same about Rodney Wallace and then Botan as well. All these guys, like anytime Sporting brings somebody in, they're brought in for a purpose. They're brought in to play a role and to help the team out. And I think a lot of people are going to really fall in love with Kellen Rowe. I remember back in 2013 that Sporting Kansas City brought in a player from the New England Revolution who was a midfielder.
Might remember him.
Who had been playing for the U.S. men's national team, but had kind of fallen out of favor.
He needed
to come to Kansas City to kind of restart his career.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of that year, he was holding the MLS Cup, having restarted his career. Yeah. Now, he didn't ever quite get that love back with the men's national team like he deserved.
Just look at you.
You know what? He was a great player. That was Benny Failhaber. Kellen, a little bit different of a player, but a similar situation. He's, you know, was playing for the men's national team, scored in the Gold Cup a few years ago. Goes from the Revolution, which maybe wasn't the right situation for him at the end of his time there. Coming to Kansas City, restart. You know, you got Peter Vermees, who's going to...
Man.
He's going to put him in the role he needs to play in, and he typically gets the best out of all of his players, especially when they buy in. And I think a guy like Kellen's going to buy in really quickly. You should be excited about Rodney Wallace, too. I mean, he's going to definitely be a very versatile player. And then Botan being kind of a center back for us that hopefully... you know, with Andre Afonsis getting a bigger role this year, and then Matt Beisler being
the
hometown hero.
The legend, man.
So it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited for the team. They're going to be playing in the Champions League coming up, and then they're going to be playing on a new field as well, too.
I saw those tweets.
Yeah.
How many strips of grass did you guys have to lay down for that? Children's Mercy Park.
I did literally nothing with this project. I could direct you to the right people, which I think is the correct answer for
Blake,
that.
You're supposed to be my insider, man.
But I know the field looks great, and I know that they put in a new heating system. And Jordan and I were talking before as we were getting to know each other, and it was a lot of fun because you weren't in the room.
So we could
kind of say whatever we wanted to for a second.
You listen here, Blake. You listen here, all right? I'm going to see you at this first game. You better watch
out. His little leg is shaking. What's going on? Are you nervous?
No, I'm just plotting. I'm scheming right now.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Don't hurt Blake.
I'm scheming.
He is a friend.
Scheming. All right, Blake, how's preseason going?
It's going really well. They just recently played on a stream. What was that? Against Houston 2 days ago?
Was that the 4-1 game, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The days kind of run together in the offseason for a sports team. Just, I'm sure, like with you guys every day, it's like, is today Friday?
Yes.
Yeah. And the boys are in Arizona?
They're in Arizona. They'll be... coming back, and then they're going to do some altitude training, and then they'll be ready to play Toluca next week. That's going to be a big game against a Liga MX team, which for anyone who's kind of getting a little bit broader knowledge in soccer, that's a big deal for an MLS team to be competing in the Champions League. In addition to that, the opportunity to kind of take on a Liga MX team and beat them is huge. And we're kind of in the reverse situation than where we were last year in the MLS playoffs. So last year, Sporting KC played the first leg on the road. They got a 0-0 draw against Portland, and then they had, you know, they had the second leg at home to win. It's kind of reversed now. So Sporting has the first leg at home against Toluca. You want to get out there, get a couple goals, and get that lead built up, because then they're going to go down to Mexico and play Toluca, and the altitude is extremely high. It's, you know, much higher than anywhere they'd be playing in the U.S., so they're going to have to train for that.
Yep.
And, you know, all these Liga MX teams, they're already about midway through their season. And Sporting, this will be their first competitive game.
That's right.
So it's kind of like you're catching a team that is like, it would be, you know, like a team in the NBA who just kind of sat out the first half of the season, and then on Christmas Day, they played their first game against somebody who had already been playing since October. There's going to be an adjustment period, but Sporting's going to be prepared for it, and it could be a great way to kickstart your season running deep in the Champions League and winning a competition that nobody in MLS has.
Right.
You know, they haven't done it. It was called something differently back in the day when I believe DC United technically won a competition like this, but it's not this competition.
No.
And it's a big deal for this. Toronto last year made it all the way to the final. I think Sporting Kansas City has the ambition to go all the way through.
We look so good. Because, I mean, let's not step on last year. Last year was a great, great season for Sporting KC. Personally, I got to announce my first playoff game. That was dope. That was sick, man. And actually, that was all you. You run a tight ship, my friend.
I do.
Not enough people.
I got to keep you in check.
I mean, somebody's got to do it. But not enough people understand, like, the behind the scenes at Children's Mercy Park. I would say we're biased. I think it's the best soccer-specific stadium in the United States.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, just the game day. I mean, you're seeing a show. It's got that college atmosphere. You're in the Cauldron. You're in South Stand. And, like, you just feel all the feels. And I think that we're going to look real nice this year. I think I think you've got some. You got a thing?
We got tickets.
Oh, you brought tickets?
Yeah, tickets to Thursday's game.
Oh,
next Thursday's game. So we'll definitely give these out in just a minute. But what are some of the things that are up and coming schedule wise for Sporting KC?
Yeah, so they got the match on Thursday, next Thursday on the 21st against Toluca. I believe coming up on Monday, we're going to do kind of an AMA with our team president, Jake Reed, on for President's Day.
Mm-hmm.
See what we did there?
was that you?
That's not me. That's not me, actually.
Screams
but
a Blake
the
idea.
People who are far better at their jobs are handling that. And then after that, Sporting Kansas City will then play Toluca again between, I think it's the 28th, and then March 3rd, they'll go to L.A., play LAFC, and then on the 10th, home opener, fan appreciation match against Philadelphia Union.
Yeah.
There's some other events in there as well. March 2nd, there's going to be a block party at Town Center, which is going to be a lot of fun.
Can I go to that? Can I come to that?
Yeah, I don't really want to pay you so you can show up for it, but we can talk off air on what we can do with that.
Give me a wristband.
Yeah. Maybe. Mm-hmm. We'll see, right?
Tell him it starts on March 1st.
I'll tell him it starts at... Yeah. I'll have to call him. Hey, Hartzell, you said you'd be here by 10.
I've about had it with you, too.
11.
I'm about done with you, too.
No, but that's going to be a fun event, and there's going to be a lot of, you know, different activities and an opportunity for people who have a kid that they want to get into soccer for a free clinic. I know people like anything that's free.
Yep.
Free soccer clinics work out pretty well.
Hell yeah.
Am I wrong here? I feel like Sporting this year, and I'll be really quick, I feel like Sporting this year is going kind of back to KC. I feel like kind of like a return to the roots. It just feels like it's that hometown feeling again. Even more so than before.
Yeah, I mean, anytime that you can go back to your city and really kind of grasp everyone and be that hometown club, I think any sports team would want to do that, and Sporting Kansas City has shown throughout the years that that's something that's really valuable to them. And truthfully, it's a big deal. I mean, there's a lot of people, you know, people in Kansas City, they want something that's authentic. They want something that resonates and that is truly Kansas City.
Yeah.
Sporting's been that way for a while, but you can never slip up on that feeling and always want to be authentic with your fans. And you guys know that as well as anyone, how that's a very big factor in Kansas City.
Yeah, very excited to see this match.
Got to get you out there, Jordan.
I know, I will. I will. We have 10 pair. You brought 10 pair of tickets.
Jesus, okay.
To the game. Sporting
coming
KC.
In hot. Coming in
I know,
hot.
Right? Do you need to, should I give him a pair, or is he going to finally get his credentials?
Yeah.
He's going to sneak him in like we tried to do with the Chiefs game.
Yeah, we'll see. Like I said, like we said earlier, sometimes I have to kind of treat Hartzell in a way that I have to say, hey, if you want this, I need you to do this, which is, you know what? He always jumps and hits those bars for me, and he does a great job. And sometimes you go above and beyond them. But we'll get you taken care of. You'll have fun on this island with me. It'll be nice and chilly. So,
I'll I'm going to find a jacket from somebody.
I know that you're going to be prepared.
What up, Kit Man?
For some type of weather.
Not only that, you can go hang out on the grass, which is warmer now because of the way that they've updated the stadium.
Yeah, so with the field heating system, it's going to be huge. You know, a lot of times people talk about a frozen tundra in sports, and that is actually a true thing with the ground getting so cold.
You don't think about that while you're watching it.
It's like a brick. If it gets that bad, it hurts.
Yep, and so what happens when it's so cold is that players are more susceptible to concussions. Yep. So with this new heating system, it can be warmer. And so then the ground can be looser. And so then it would hopefully, you know, kind of cut down on those times where players could be getting concussions that they shouldn't be getting or that the ground is causing.
So the heating system is under the grass.
Yeah, it's like 6 feet under there.
Wow. Oh, damn.
It was.
Is Jimmy Hoffa down there?
No.
I knew it.
I think they checked. Okay. It would have been weird.
Okay, good.
It would have been weird if they would have found him, but we would have certainly let the appropriate people know.
Okay, good. That means good luck.
Yeah.
Nobody was buried. Just 6 feet down.
Get him a sporting jersey. It's fine.
That's right. Just put it on him and put him away. Awesome. Thank you so much for coming in, Blake. It's amazing. And thank you for bringing these tickets that we're going to give out to the first 10 callers.
I believe.
576-7965.
Let's see how many days Hartzell can go without getting in a fight on Twitter. Let's see how many days Jordan Silver can go without mentioning you-know-who on The Buzz.
Sammy Joe.
Hi.
Is this a day that you're very excited to come fill in for Jeremy?
Oh, I'll tell you what, Jeremy picked some. The last time she decided to, you know, leave town conveniently was also during an ice storm. So
really
fun time. Yeah,
she's going to Chicago. So
see, that's where she messed up. I think it may be worse up there right now. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
She played herself, didn't she?
So you're hanging out for her till 3?
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
Anything fun going on the show?
Oh, let me tell you what, Jeremy.
Yep.
Jeremy does amazing things, right? I love a hookup. I love 90s at noon. I don't know how to do them. So what I am going to do is play some songs that I can hit buttons for.
Hey, that sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, it keeps the day going. Yeah. It'll keep everyone motivated. It's fine. Doing my best.
That's great. And I'll keep the seat warm for you.
Thank you.
But shoot, that means you get out of here at 3 o'clock.
Yeah. No, yeah. You are leaving probably at the right time. I mean, you know, what, streets are covered. It's going to be a little hectic. 3 o'clock's going to be a different story.
What kind of car do you drive?
I do have four-wheel drive.
Okay. I'm just okay. Bragging. You're bragging now.
Yeah.
Just bragging.
Sorry.
That's two more wheel drive than both of us have.
Sorry.
Wow.
Well, you want to take my car? You can have it. I don't need it till 3.
Pick her up, drop her off.
Side story. You know, Sammy Joe hired me, right? And look at you now. Look at us now.
Look at us.
And then look at Jordan.
I'm fine. I'm leaving.
Before, he had to be up by 3 p.m. Now it's 3 a.m. How's this going to work? It's Hartzell on Jordan Silver and Friends.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.